Not that you've ever done this. Not that you've ever modeled it. Not that you've ever experienced it. But you may have seen one. A pity party. And when there's a pity party, the most critical question isn't what happened. The most important question is, where's your focus? And in a pity party, we already know the answer to that, right? It's self. When our focus is on self, it's all about what I can do, what I'm experiencing, what I failed at, what I can't do, what I think is impossible to do, what I think God won't even do. And it's all that personal pronoun, singular, first person, I. We tend to look at the world that way. And when there's temptation, then it's no longer I, it's you. You made me do this. You did this to me. You know, and sometimes that pronoun you means God. Why are you doing this to me, God? What did I do to deserve this? And so it's interesting how we're almost like a baseball player, a switch hitter, left hand, right hand, right? And there's times we are focused on self, and there's times we are focused on God, and the question is, why are we flip-flopping around? Listen to what James has to say, as given by the Holy Spirit. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. From Romans 8, God tells us this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And in the Lord's Prayer, we have the phrase, the petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When the words trial, and I don't mean jury trial, courtroom trial, but trial meaning challenge, difficulty, having to endure something, suffering, if you will. When the word trial and temptation come up, most people look at either themselves, like I'm not responsible, or God is to blame, or somebody else. I'd like to offer you another solution. Why not look to God for both? In the times of trial, God calls us to lean on him. You know the phrases from the Psalms. He is our defense, our shelter, our rock, our fortress. You know, he is our staff, our comforter. You know, he's our shepherd. All of those descriptive words are meant to describe who God is and who he is for us and to us. When we come up with the word trial and we think of the pity party, we try to say, I don't deserve this. I'm unworthy of all this trouble. I didn't do it. And even if I did, I wasn't that bad. And on we go, and we start excusing why we should not have pain. But in the midst of our pain, what does God do? God comes. He strengthens us. At times, He protects us. At times, He lifts us up. At times, it's physical healing. Sometimes, the healing is in the heart and the mind. But He fortifies us. He brings us His word of truth about His love and His grace, so that as we experience these kinds of awful things, our perspective about God does not have to change. In many ways, I know about some of your hardships, the difficulties that you've had, whether it's recent or long ago. In some ways, you know about our life and the journey we've been on these last years. And yet it is only by the grace of God that you and I and all believers are sustained and strengthened and endure and persevere. I don't know how many times since I've been ordained, 81, I've been asked, Pastor, how do people do it when they have no faith? And it may be about cancer. It may be about the loss of a loved one. It may be about parenting and challenging kids in the house. It may be about marriage, How do people do it without God? And the answer is, look at the world, and you know the answer. It's not doing it very well, is it? We have anger issues. We have impatience. We have self-centeredness. We have all kinds of dilemmas. That's how people do it without God. But with God, we endure. In times of starvation and poverty, people still shared. It was really interesting over in, I think it was in Nigeria and Ethiopia and places like that, that it was the poor people that shared, not the wealthy. Yeah, it was the poor that helped one another make it through the day. It was the poor that shared out of their smallness that made these gifts of God great. And so how do we endure in times of trial, in times of challenge? We look to God. And Jesus is the greatest model of it all. Do you remember what He experienced? He was hungry. In an earthly sense, He was homeless, right? He had no place to lay His head. That's how He described his 3 years of ministry. He really didn't have His own personal bedroom, His own personal closet and wardrobe. He was betrayed by those whom He taught and instructed, the disciples. They left Him. They deserted Him. Those that He came to save ridiculed, mocked Him, made fun of Him, renounced Him, denied Him. And here He went to the cross. The one who was sinless, who knew no sin, the Bible says was made sin for us. Are your trials any close to that? Anywhere? Even one half of that? The answer is no. He carried the sin of the world. We look to God in our difficult times because God's the strength. God is the power. God is the rewarder of us all through faith. He gives us all that we need, and it isn't always what we want. On the cross, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew that was going to happen. It's in the Psalm 22. We often read that one on Good Friday. Jesus knew what would happen at Calvary, and He went. And He knew that He would experience death, and He went. But he also knew that he would defeat the devil, and so he went to hell. And he knew that he would overcome death, and he left the grave. And he knew that he would save us and lead us into everlasting life, and he did that. What he endured for our sake is by that power of God, we endure. For the sake of the gospel, we endure. We keep going. When it comes to temptation, the Bible is very clear. God does not tempt you. There's a difference between a temptation and a test. A test means to show what you have gained, what you know, and in some ways what you didn't learn. That's what a test does. But a test is not meant to set you up for failure. I don't know about you, when I failed tests, it's because I failed to study. The test didn't fail me. I failed the test. The teacher didn't fail me. I failed. I refused to learn. God doesn't fail you. He hopes to prove your faith and to strengthen it and to work it, like that dead weight over there, working your faith and making you stronger. Because if you don't use it, it remains dormant. He was listening. It becomes docile and then almost non-existent. Did you know that your faith can atrophy? Yeah, I don't know how long it takes to lose one's faith. But if we don't live by faith and we don't live in Christ and we don't walk by faith, then it dies. Temptation is about the world and our sinful flesh wanting us to fail. And the temptation is really about the passions inside of us, because the world doesn't define you. We allow it to define us. You know, when someone taunts you and ridicules you and calls you a big chicken because you won't fight, hey, let them call you a chicken. You don't have to fight to prove how strong you are and how mighty you are. In fact, it takes more strength to work for peace than it does to lose your temper. Temptation is from within. And all of us do not have the same tempters. Some of us, it's chocolate. Some of us, it's French fries. Other people love, it doesn't have to be food. It can be anything that tempts us to draw us away from Bible study, Christian fellowship, worship. Anything can be used to draw you away from walking faithfully with the Lord your God. It can be the desire for money. It can be the desire for fame. It can be anything. It can be an idea, an image, or a thought. Anything can get in the way, and it comes from within. There are some things, if we put it before you and you don't care about, that's not even tempting, is it? But if your mind wants it, if your heart desires it, if you think, wow, that would be good, now you're leading yourself down. So where's God in this? It's simple. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, it's about, may God lead us by his word so that we identify what the temptation is and fight against those urges and those passions and those desires. That God would correct our stinking thinking about pride and independence and arrogance and even what is enjoyable. That God would bring into us his word of truth and grace. And when we falter, that is, when we give into temptation, may he pick us up again and restore us as his child, and so that we continue on the path in his name. You see, when we think of trial and temptation, we often think of poor me and God, why? But really it is in trial, it's God, how will you help me? And in temptation, how will you help me? How will you lead me and strengthen me so that I may honor you and live to the glory of your name? In Jesus, amen.